The last time we looked at Moses' life, the great milestones in his life, we looked at and we considered his first encounter with Pharaoh. When at God's command and God's direction, Moses declared God's word to the king. It can be summed up in four words at the start of chapter 5 and verse 1. Let my people go. And Moses and Aaron declared that word coming from the Lord. We learned it was a divine word. It came from the Lord. It was a demanding word. It made certain demands on Pharaoh, and God's word coming to our hearts, whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved, when God's word comes to your heart, it makes demands off your life and it makes demands of you. And the great question is, will you respond to the demands of God's word and will you live up to them? But sadly, we learned that it was a despised word. You see, the meeting with Pharaoh did not go well for Moses or for Israel. Pharaoh questioned the very existence and the authority of the Lord. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? And he concludes in verse 2 with those words, I know not the Lord. I don't know him. I don't know who you're speaking of. Maybe there's someone in the meeting. And sadly, that's what you would have to conclude of your life. You don't know the Lord. You don't know him experientially. You've never experienced his grace or his power. You know nothing of his saving power. And all you know of him is what you've heard from others. That was Pharaoh's experience. All he knew of Jehovah was what Moses had told him, but he didn't know him personally. He didn't know him by experience. He knew nothing of him. And he says, therefore, I will not let Israel go. And he rebels. He rebelled so much so that he decided to increase Israel's burdens. If you take time to read down through chapter 5, you will discover that Pharaoh, in rejecting God's word, he ordered that the Israelite slaves, they continue to make the brick for the treasure cities, and they continue to build, but they would not be provided with any straw. It seems to be, from reading this chapter, that the straw was provided for the Israelites to mix it and to make the brick. But now Pharaoh declares, no straw will be given. The Israelites will have to search for it themselves. They will gather it themselves, and they'll make their own brick then. And they have to continue to have the same workload and the output as they have had even up until now. Pharaoh's scheme and his plotting had the desired effect. If you come down to verse 19 that we began our reading this morning, it tells us the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And those officers then come to Moses and they blame Moses and Aaron. Do you see it? Verse 20. And they met Moses and Aaron who stood in the way. Verse 21. The Lord look upon you and judge because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh. Moses, you're the cause of our increased burdens. Moses, you're the cause. You said you would come to deliver us. You said you'd come to set us free. And all you've brought is added burden, added affliction. And Moses, it's all your fault. The officers of the children of Israel have now turned against Moses and Aaron. That's what Pharaoh wanted. And Pharaoh in the book of Exodus can be viewed as a type and a representation of the devil. And I tell you what, one of the schemes and one of the wiles of the devil is to sow discord, the seeds of disunity among the people of God. And he uses those very people of God to do it. That's what's happening. That was Pharaoh's intention. They're talking about exiting Egypt. They want to leave this land. I'll divide them and I'll conquer them. And so he sets about a course whereby the officers turn against Moses and Aaron, and they're divided the one from the other. And I'm saying to you, it's a picture of how the devil wants to work among the people of God, sowing discord, setting brother against brother. And sadly, he often uses the professing people of God to do it. There are some Christians, and sadly, they think it's spiritual to cause division and disunity among the people of God. I tell you today, it's one of the wiles of the devil. May we not be ignorant of his devices. And in the words of Peter, may we resist him steadfast in the faith, and may we strive to keep the spirit of unity and the bond of peace among the people of God and the church of Christ. That disunity led Moses to be greatly discouraged, as you can imagine. You get a glimpse and a sense of how Moses felt in verse 19 and 20. Look at verse 22 and 23. Look at verse 22. Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. And he's come to the point where he's questioning, Lord, why did you even send me? Why did you commission me? I've come to Egypt at your command. I've told the Israelites your word. I've done all that you've asked. And yet matters have only got worse. And we get a glimpse of Moses deeply discouraged, wishing he hadn't come back to Egypt at all, questioning his call, wondering how he could go on. You know, discouragement can be a great problem in the work of God. It can bring a man or a woman to the point where they no longer want to go on and serve the Lord. They want to just give up in the Christian life and in Christian service. Do you remember Elijah? And oh, he had a great victory on Mount Carmel, but then he ran before the chariot of Ahab, and he heard the report that came from Jezebel that she was going to slay him. God, do so to me and more also, if I make not Elijah's life like the life of those prophets of Baal that he slew. She wanted to kill him. He went away on a number of days' journey into the wilderness, and he sat down under the juniper tree, and he said, Lord, it is enough. I'm not better than my fathers. Lord, take my life. He didn't want to go on. So greatly discouraged that he didn't want to go on in the service of the Lord. And Moses is feeling something similar right at the commencement. He's barely get started his service for the Lord, and he feels so greatly discouraged. I wonder, is that you? Maybe you've been sitting under that juniper tree for a number of years. You've looked at others and you've been discouraged. You've heard of discord and disunity, and you're discouraged, and you just feel you don't want to go on. You just sit on the sidelines. Well, the Lord wasn't going to have Moses sit on the sidelines. The Lord wasn't going to let Moses wallow in self-pity and question. No, he came to Moses. And what did he do? Well, in the first number of verses of chapter 6, the Lord encouraged Moses. And that's really the theme for this morning. Moses and his encouragement. When he's down, when he's discouraged, when he feels that he can't go on, the Lord remembered his frame. The Lord knew that he was dust. He didn't cast him off. He wasn't harsh. He didn't put out the smoking flax. He didn't break the bruised reed. But rather, he came alongside and he encouraged Moses in the Lord. And from the conclusion of chapter 5 to the first 11 verses of chapter 6, I want to consider this morning Moses and his encouragement. And I trust that it will be a means of encouraging the people of God gathered here to continue to go on with the Lord and serve Him. I want you firstly to note Moses and his cry before the encouragement. Verse 22 and 23 of chapter 5 is really a prayer. It's a prayer of Moses. Verse 22, and Moses returned unto the Lord. That's prayer. He's coming before the Lord. And the first part of any remedy for a discouraged and a downcast soul is to get before the Lord in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. James said in his little epistle, is any among you afflicted? We ask the question today, is there anyone here and they're afflicted? He gave the answer, let him pray. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, and let us bring those burdens to the Lord. Matthew Henry, writing about this prayer of Moses, he said, disappointments and discouragements must not keep us from God, but rather drive us to God. And how often it is that in the Christian life, when disappointments and discouragements come, rather we cease to pray. We neglect the secret place. But how true it is, and we commend Moses. We commend him for his actions because he took the burden to the Lord in prayer. And we commend his actions because they are in stark contrast to what the officers of Israel did. Did you notice that? We didn't read verse 15 of chapter 5, but just run your eye back to verse 15 in chapter 5. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh. Moses cried unto the Lord, but the officers of Israel cried unto Pharaoh. I've already mentioned that Pharaoh decreed that they should continue to make brick with no straw. They must maintain the same workload. And when it wasn't accomplished, then the officers were beaten. Do you see that in chapter 5? It tells us in verse 14, and the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten. There was a structure in this slavery. Pharaoh placed certain taskmasters among the Egyptians over groups of Israelites. And from those Israelites, those taskmasters appointed officers. And those officers were to oversee the Israelites working, making the brick, building the cities, the treasure cities for Pharaoh. And whenever they weren't fulfilling the same workload as before, the taskmasters brought the officers and they beat them. And what did the officers do? Did they take the matter to the Lord in prayer? Lord, we're being unjustly treated. We're being despised. Noah tells us the officers of the children of Israel cried unto Pharaoh. And then it tells us when the officers, verse 19, the officers of the children of Israel did see they were evil and treated, and they met Moses and Aaron. They said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, verse 21. Oh, they're crying unto Pharaoh, and they get no sympathy from him. And then they come and lay the blame at Moses and Aaron's door, and they cry in their ears. But Moses, he takes the matter to the Lord in prayer. I want to ask you, in your times of trouble, in your times of discouragement, in your times of hardship, are you like the officers of Israel, or are you like Moses and Aaron? Do you go and cry to the world for help where you get no sympathy? Do you blame your fellow Christians and sow discord among them? Or do you take the matter to the Lord in prayer? We have to commend Moses because in this matter he didn't turn against his brethren, he turned to the Lord in prayer. And that's the best thing you can do when trials oppress you and burdens distress you. Bring your discouragements to the Lord in prayer. But while we commend Moses for his coming to the Lord in prayer, yet we have to express concern for what he actually prayed. Verse 22 and 23. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? He charges God foolishly to take an expression from Job, the book of Job. And then he questions God, why is it thou hast sent me? And then he gives the providential circumstances, the circumstances that have taken place. And he says, Lord, from I have come, matters have got worse and no better. Oh, he charges God foolishly with worsening the condition of Israel and expressed his desire no longer to lead Israel. They were foolish words. Be careful what you say to God in prayer. They were foolish words because God had already told Moses that Pharaoh would not let the people go except with a strong and mighty hand. You remember at the burning bush, just flick back a page, chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, the Lord speaking to Moses in Midian. He's speaking to Moses at the burning bush, rather, and he says, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. It's going to take a mighty act of divine power for Pharaoh to let Israel go. He's not going to let you go, except I do that mighty work. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders. God told Moses at the bush, I'll perform wonders. And then he let you go. Which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, chapter 3, verse 20, he will let you go. And if Moses had only remembered the word of the Lord, if he'd only remembered what God had said to him at the burning bush, I don't believe he would have uttered the words in chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. He would have known there's more to come. The Lord is about to step in. He's going to perform His wonders. Though Pharaoh might make the situation worse, it's coming to an expected end. When we forget the Word of God, I tell you, the Christian can sometimes charge God foolishly. Sometimes we forget the Word of the Lord that through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom. That's what the Lord has said to His people. And I tell you, there's no exceptions. Every child of God will enter the kingdom by much tribulation. And yet when our hardships and our troubles come, we often forget about that word. We think, Lord, why me? Lord, why has this event happened? Why am I suffering in this way? Why has this discouragement come? The Lord has already told us. This earth is not our home and we will never know freedom from the sufferings and the common calamities of this life until the day and hour we get to heaven. Through much tribulation, we must enter into the kingdom of God. We must remember the word of the Lord. Or we leave ourselves open to charge the Lord foolishly and sinfully. That was Moses' cry before his encouragement. But I want you, secondly, this morning, to consider the comfort of his encouragement. And I want you to see how his comfort came to his soul. For in chapter 6, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 10, we read, "The Lord said unto Moses," in verse 1. Verse 2, "God spake unto Moses." And then verse 10, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." The Lord comforted him. The Lord encouraged him by the means of speaking unto him. And as God's people in this New Testament age, it reminds us of the importance of the Word of God. We're getting a little glimpse. What should I do when I am discouraged? When I feel I can't go on? When I'm burdened down? Get to the closet, the secret place in prayer. Open the book. Continue to read it. For it's through prayer and the reading of God's Word that the Lord comes alongside and He comforts and He encourages our hearts to go on with Himself. It was the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah. Jeremiah had an experience like Moses in chapter 20. He was so discouraged he wasn't going to preach anymore. He told the Lord that in Jeremiah chapter 20 and the verse 9. Well-known words. "Then said I will not speak, or I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." Verse 8, what a verse this is. Perhaps you should turn to Jeremiah 20, verse 8. He says, "For since I spake, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." He's saying, "From I spoke in the name of the Lord, I've had violence, I've had reproach. I've had all manner of evil done against me." Isn't that what Moses is complaining? "From I have spoken, Pharaoh has done evil against me. And the children of Israel have turned against me." And Jeremiah concludes, "Because of the derision, because of the violence, because of the reproach, I said, I will not make mention of him. I'll not speak about the Lord anymore. I'll just mind my own business. I'll do my own thing. I'll just put my head down and lay low," as they say. "But his word was in mine heart, a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. The word of the Lord came into his heart, and it burned like a fire. And he said, I can't withhold from speaking." It was the word of God that encouraged him when he was on the verge of giving up. And that's what's happening to Moses in chapter 6. God graciously comes alongside and he speaks to his soul and he encourages him to go on with the Lord. It's the word of God that will inspire you, encourage you, and thrill you and help you when you're at your lowest. Never abandon the book. Keep reading the word. It's manna to your soul. Look at what the Lord said to encourage Moses. And I really only have time to mention some of these in passing. There's five things he said. I want to emphasize the fifth, but let me mention the other four in passing. He encouraged him with God's power, verse 1. "With a strong hand shall he let them go. Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh with a strong hand." Now's the time, Moses. You're on the verge of seeing my power, and though Pharaoh has afflicted, I'm about to step into the situation with power. As great as Pharaoh is, God is greater power. He encouraged him with his power. He encouraged him with his person. "I am the Lord," verse 2, "and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The name Jehovah, the unchanging, eternal, ever-existing God, the great I am. I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you." Then he encouraged him with his promise. Verse 4, "I have established my covenant." I agreed. I covenanted. I promised to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the land of Canaan. Pharaoh is not going to thwart my promise. He spoke about his promise. "I've covenanted to give Israel the land." Then in verse 5, he encouraged them with his pity. "I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel." Child of God, When the heart is broken with pain and discouragement, and the heart just groans unto God, the Lord hears it. He says, I know the affliction of my people. He knows what you're going through. He understands. He reminds Moses that he pities his people, but then he speaks about his purpose, verses 6 to 8. That's really what I want to, just for a minute or two, just highlight to you. He encouraged Moses with his purpose. Did you notice that 7 times the little phrase, I will, appears? From verses 6 to verse 8. I will. It's not I might. It's not I'm hoping to. This is what I will do. And there are 7 of them. 7 certainties. He said, I will bring you out from under your burdens of the Egyptians. That's release. He was going to release them. And I will rid you out of their bondage. That's rest. He was going to bring them out from under the burden. He would release them from their burdens. And in releasing them from their burdens, they would have rest from their bondage. Verse 6, again, I will redeem you. That's redemption. And then in verse 7, I will take you to me for a people. That's a relationship. You'll be my people. I will have a relationship with you. You will be my chosen nation, my chosen people. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will feed you. There's a relationship with the Lord. There's a revelation in verse 7. I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. You'll know it. I'll show it to you. You'll experience it. I'll reveal it unto you and you will know it. Then in verse 8, there's the I will of relocation. I will bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham. I'm going to take you from Egypt. The iron furnace, I'm going to bring you to Canaan, the land of milk and honey. That's the inheritance I promised you in the covenant. And then in verse 8, the 7th and final one, there's the I will of riches. I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. I will enrich you. I will give it to you. You will be increased because I will give you that land. Men and women, is that not a picture of the Lord's purpose for every soul in salvation? When He saves our soul, He releases us from the burdens of sin. He gives us rest from the bondage of sin. He redeems us by the blood of the Lamb. He takes us to Himself. We become His people, His children. We have a relationship with Him. He gives us His Spirit whereby we know that we are the children of God. And He is taking us to that eternal inheritance. The heavenly Canaan, the holy city, where we shall receive our eternal inheritance, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. And when Moses is discouraged, he brings his attention and he centers his attention on the work of redemption, what he has purposed to do for his people in redeeming and saving them. Men and women, that's the answer to discouragement in the Christian life. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. For consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind when you're downcast and despondent. Consider Christ and what He has done for you in Calvary and what He is going to do for you in eternity. And oh, the joy that will thrill your soul when you look unto Him. I tell you, there is encouragement to be found in the gospel. The cry of Moses before his encouragement, the comfort of Moses from his encouragement or in his encouragement, finally, the commission of Moses following his encouragement. Just look down to verse 10 of chapter 6. Notice the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. Why did the Lord raise up Moses with these words of encouragement again? It was because Moses' task wasn't finished. And the Lord was encouraging him so that he would commission him to go and continue his service for the Lord. That's the reason God encourages the hearts of his people. He doesn't draw alongside and speak to us and raise our spirits so that we can continue in our slumber of self-pity and blame of others. He encourages our hearts to get back to the work of God. Wasn't that what he said to Elijah under the juniper tree? There are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And he raised Elijah up with a still small voice and he said, Go thy way. And he told him to anoint the king and to anoint Elisha as a prophet who would succeed him. There was a work still for Elijah to do. And the Lord encouraged him at the Mount of Horeb not to continue to wallow in that self-pity and desire that he would be taken to heaven there and then, but to get back to the service of the Lord. Return, that was the word to Elijah, 1 Kings 19. And that's what the Lord's saying to Moses. Go. Should always mark in the Bible when the Lord says go. Told Samuel to go to the house of David. He's telling Moses, go. Go to the house of Pharaoh once again and tell him. And he's a slightly different message now in verse 11. First of all, he told him, let my people go 3 days into the wilderness to hold a feast. Now he's saying, go and speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he may let the children of Israel go out of his land. He's telling Pharaoh to release them completely. And I'll close by just asking you to run your eye over to chapter 7 and to verse 10. The Lord had said, go. Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded. When the Lord commissioned them to go, they went. God encourages you to continue. Continue in worship, continue in service, continue in the Christian life, not to conclude it. And I close by asking you this morning, are you pressing on with the Lord? Or are you sitting in the quagmire of discouragement under the juniper tree? Oh, may the Lord come and visit you and give you the words of encouragement he gave to Moses and lead you on to serve him in blessing and in power.